You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Skakuya, Tilitin, Homasque Mustail. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. Today's episode, I have brought back the interviews. I know that we didn't have a lot lately, but I was able to get someone. And I'm sure that everyone's going to like today's guest. But before we get to it, let's get through some PSAs and some ads and begin.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show, but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Hey Vancouver, for fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt-rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
How'd it go? Are we done with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I know that you're not too
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. Today is a very beautiful day. The sun has come up. I know that there weren't a lot of good weathers these days, but I think when we do have it, it truly is beautiful. Final season is up, all the classes are over, and I just want to say congratulations to everyone who finished their semester successfully. I know it was a very tough semester, especially for me at least. This was probably the most difficult semester that I've ever had, but I'm proud of myself for finishing it up. I do have a couple more assignments and some finals to get through, but I believe that I can do well. And I hope that everyone can do as well as they anticipate that they could. We don't have too much. I think there's around one or two more weeks of this final season, and we can finally get into our winter break. I don't know for everyone else, but Christmas is coming up. I hope everyone has a good, healthy plan. I'm just planning on staying with my family. And I think this is a great time of the year to gather up and relax from all the work that we've all put into this year. Like I said, today's episode, we are going to be doing an interview with one of my friends. She is an actor at SFU And so we are going to be conducting an interview with her. So if you can hear me, Sam, would you like to speak?
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. I sound clear? I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Awesome. Welcome to Lean In with Jeff. Thank you again for coming on my show. As you guys can tell, that this interview is going to be conducted through phone call. And for my episodes, or for my show at least, I am open to doing both in-person or virtual interviews. So please don't hesitate to reach out, and I will be happy to conduct more interviews with different people. Sam, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello, everyone listening on the podcast. My name is Sam, and I'm one of Jeff's friends.
Yes. What do you study?
Right now, I am studying theater performance at SFU. I don't know if that's too much information being given away, but like, yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm a theater student, so.
Awesome. That's amazing. So for today's episode, I will be doing a interview, like I mentioned. If there are any questions that you would like to pass, feel free to just say pass. It'll be a pretty laid out conversation. For those of you who don't know, we are quite close friends. And if you guys have been following my episodes, Sam has been on my show twice. And so if you guys can recognize her, please send some love. So the first question that I'd like to ask is, how was your year?
Just how was my year?
How was your year? You know, we are coming to the end of it. 2023 has definitely been one of the exciting, but also very tough for me. And so I'm just wondering, as the year closes off, what do you feel about this year?
Okay. So many thoughts, by the way, because like this year, it's one of those years that I'm just like, wow, I think I went through that like transformation period. I don't know how to explain this, but like looking back for the past, let's say 3 years, I feel like this year alone just stands out the most because of the fact that I feel like I just transformed as a person, in many, many directions as well. Cause the first thing that came to mind was when it came to relationships, like romantic relationships and whatnot, went through my first breakup this year, earlier in the year. And then, later on had a lot of conflicts with my mom about relationships, and being honest with her about stuff was also really hard. But now we're learning to be more open to each other, because in Asian families that's not really often. That's another breakthrough for me, is like my relationship with my parents, my relationship with men, my artistic practice has expanded a lot this year, especially in like outside of theater. I found my love for dance and drumming, especially dance. Like it's one of those things that I was always interested in as a child, but because I was occupied by another sport at the time, I never really got to invest a lot of my time into it. But now that I'm a young adult, and then I can actually prioritize time differently, I can put a lot more energy into something that I love doing. I wasn't even like craving to be really good at it. It was just like a hobby on the side that just keeps growing and growing every single day. So yeah, wow, I just talk a lot. But yeah, those are the few things that made me feel like, yeah, I grew a lot as a person this year. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I enjoy my guests speaking a lot. And yeah, I'd say that I too have grown a lot as a person. I did learn a lot about myself. I think I worked on me as an individual more than the relationships that I have with friends and family. And so in terms of that, I think I definitely learned way more about myself than I have probably in a couple of years. Speaking of hobbies, do you tend to have many, or just focus on one and try to get to a certain level with that?
Okay. I used to be the type of person who thinks that I should just be really good at one thing. That's what I've been told growing up. But I feel like right now I'm more like just branching out to different things and really just be okay with just being okay with different things at once. Because I feel like at this point I kind of gave up on being really good at something, if that makes sense. I kind of gave up on the idea of that, and I'm okay with being inept as long as I'm interested enough to keep putting more time in it. Yeah.
No, I agree with you on that one. I think once you think about dropping that, not the motivation or the ambition towards something, but just the stress of pushing yourself and giving yourself the pressure to go to a certain level,
yeah,
does make whatever activity you're doing a little less enjoyable. And so, yeah, I think especially for your hobbies, it's great to think about the balance between your enjoyable feelings, but also kind of how you're performing in that certain thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
So for theater performance, you said you were studying. I actually never asked this as a friend, but I'm just wondering, was that something that you were always interested in when you were younger, or did it kind of develop through the years?
Yeah, I think I found theater first during high school, like the later years of high school. It was a pretty late interest for me. But in terms of the performing aspect of everything, that was something that I have been very, very passionate about since I was a kid. And I'm sure my parents or people around me can see that. I love being the center of attention most of the time. And that came with, you know, dancing, that came with figure skating. I really just enjoy the performative aspects of it. And when I went to high school, I think my first exposure to theater was just simply being in the drama classes. It's a weird thing because it's like, I, at that time, I knew nothing about drama, but I already had this feeling that I'm ready to settle for it. And I remember when we were applying for what school and what program to go to in grade 12, to university, I was looking through the majors, the list of majors, and I was like, wow, there's seriously nothing that caught my interest other than theater performance. So I thought that was maybe a sign to me to be like, you know, I cannot imagine myself pursuing any other path other than theater at this moment. And if something changes in me, I'm flexible enough to just take another route. But right now, I just feel very, very confident in my path. And I feel confident in my craft enough to keep pursuing this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think as a person who's seen you perform, which was yesterday, I think it's a very, very cool thing that you're doing. And I myself love performing as well. I did briefly take a theater course in my second year. I completely enjoyed it. But, you know, I do think that I struggle with being nervous on stage. And I think everyone does. And as a person who has way more experience than me, would you have a method of your own where you cope with that nervousness and have it prevent you from not performing to the ability that you can?
Oh yeah. Like anyone, doesn't matter how experienced an actor is, there are definitely moments right before going on stage, especially, you just get that feeling in your stomach. And I struggle with that a lot, I feel like. And my method to quote unquote dealing with it is to just let it sit there. And sometimes, you know, for example, just yesterday, because it's a reading, so technically it's not like a play, but there are still like expectations for me to perform the script in a certain way that delivers the message the way that the playwright wants. And I just remember before going on stage, because of the fact that none of us have, like, have the lines memorized, which is part of it. And that itself gave me a lot of nerves. But sometimes, like, that nervousness can actually become, like, a source of energy for you when you go on stage. You just kind of, like, sit in it a little bit. And then let that adrenaline just slowly, like, run through your body. And then it just kind of dissipates throughout like, the first sentence that you speak. Does that make any sense? I don't even know. But I feel like that little boost of nervousness can actually give you some power when you go on stage. And when you deliver that first line, it's like everything just goes out. Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I just kind of let it marinate a bit when I'm in the back of the stage. I just let it be, acknowledge it. And then I go on stage, and then the first thing I say, I let it all out. That's what happens to me when I perform. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that was a very good answer. Speaking of kind of thinking on your feet on stage, I do wonder, because you told me this yesterday during your reading, is that you added improvisation in your performance. And as a performer, would you prefer kind of having that flexibility of improvising through your performance? Or do you feel like having a set out strict script with you is more comfortable for you when you are performing?
Honestly, I don't, because I'm right now in the, like, in the SFU program specifically, we don't really study scripts at all, because it's a contemporary theater thing. So it's more based on scores. Like, if they set up, like, a series of actions that make you have to follow it as a performer, and that's the boundaries you have to set. Like, in that way, like, in the school and my practice in school, that's the form of script, quote unquote script, that we get, a form of score. But at times when, for example, yeah, just like yesterday, when there's a whole, like, I don't know, like 30 something pages of script, there's kind of an expectation for you to stay on script rather than doing improv, like doing improvised lines, because there's a lot more intention in why the playwright wrote what they wrote. And your job as the actor, right, is not really about, it's not really about you anymore. You have to think about a lot of things when you commit to improvising lines. The reason why I made the decision I made, the choices on stage I made yesterday, was because that I going into that specific scene, when it involves a high level of audience engagement and also participation, I knew that just following the script is technically going to be enough, but also you need to read what's happening, like, in reality, right? Like, some improv that I threw in, just for context for the audience, the show I was doing yesterday, I have to teach a bunch of audience how to swear in Cantonese. And it's this, like, comedic bit, but also, like, super, like, satirical, sarcastic, and, like, making fun of some of the audience members. And I decided to just throw in a little bit of snarky type of remarks in there to really get them, like, going, in terms of, like, get them to laugh, get them to feel more comfortable, get them to, you know, be more comfortable with me, because I can also see them in the audience. And I'm trying to use improv as a way to open up that space for them and to feel more flexible in reacting in different ways. So that's why I made the choices that I made. So, but normally I would say I prefer to stay on the script, because there's a reason why playwrights make the work that they make, and I don't want it to make it about myself, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think it does differ from where you are, what you're performing. And I think depending on that, that kind of changes the way you perform. I also want to ask, are there any roles that you took that were very memorable for you or that kind of inspired you to perform or just in general where you just had so much fun with?
Roles. I need to think back. Let me think. In terms of roles, I think makes me think about the community, like community theater stuff that I auditioned for before going into SFU. Like, for example, I auditioned for a play in Evergreen Center, like when I was, I think, grade 11 and stuff like that. Or when I auditioned for Place des Arts, also around the same year. I think those were memorable in a way because it gave me a source of reassurance to my younger self that why I'm doing what I'm doing today. And I'll give an example. The one I performed for in Place des Arts, they had this adaptation of The Tempest by Shakespeare, and I was casted as Prospero, which was supposed to be a male-presenting role, but because they casted me, they made Prospero into the Duchess of Milan instead of the Dutch. And I remember learning the script, and it was really tricky because it was all in Shakespearean language, which I had... like I was not acquainted with before that, and I had no idea what any of the words meant. So I remember spending a lot of time dissecting the script and putting a lot of, like, it literally put a lot of hard work and time into this role itself. So I think in that way it was memorable because despite the hardship, I do enjoy the process of it. And I think it was like slightly nerdy, and it was a fun thing to remember considering I was like freshly started theater performance, and this is the role I was assigned and I had to do this by myself and blah, 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 blah. So it was motivation in a way for me for the later years. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that long answer. It was great. I think moving on to that topic, I want to ask, there's a lot of emotions that you need to portray in your work. And for me, when I was taking my theater course, I had a lot of trouble taking a serious tone, almost a sadder tone, I guess. Were there any scenes that you have done in the past where you had to cry or just be totally mad? And was that difficult for you? Do you have any methods that you kind of do beforehand? How do you kind of deal with those kind of situations?
I remember the first year when I was in SFU, I was casted as the nurse in Medea, and it was for someone's graduating project. And there was one of the scenes where Medea, the main character, kills their own child. And as the nurse, because that is also the child that you grew up raising, or that you kind of raised, in the script, I was supposed to wail. I was supposed to cry. And when the moment came, right, like, it's, you just kind of have to sit in the present moment and kind of just, you're constantly situating yourself in this position, in this dynamic with different characters, and believe that it is happening. You don't have to necessarily be actually being like, oh, I'm the nurse right now, how do I cry as a nurse? But just, you simply just have to think as a normal human being. This child is dying or is dead, got killed by his mother, and that in itself already is enough for me to be impacted on stage. I didn't need much, to be honest. Sometimes you just need to kind of just rip your heart open and kind of just let whatever is happening beside you to affect you immediately. And a lot of times, like, I would overthink and be like, oh yeah, like, but in this situation, it wouldn't make sense for them to do that, or what makes sense and what doesn't. But I feel like one of the most vital things in performing is to just be very, very, what's the word? I don't even know what the word would be, but you
maybe like original.
Like, you just have to receive anything like you would as a normal human being. And there's a lot of awareness that goes into you performing, especially the awareness between you and other actors. And being present in that exact moment has been hard for me. It has been challenging for me as an actor because I'm fully aware that that's an audience in front of me, and I'm just here putting up a show. But sometimes you just have to let that go and be like, and just be immersed enough in this exact moment that what is happening right now, this child is dying. Oh shit. Sorry. Oh crap. Like that's what's happening in my mind. It's like, I don't really care if I'm a nurse or not. I just care right now because this person needs help, or this person is in a dire situation. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a very good answer. Moving on from that topic, I also want to ask, as I mentioned earlier, the word original kind of touches me in terms of how I write, how I perform. I try to stick it to who I am as a person, my unique characteristics that I hold as Jeff.
Exactly.
When you're performing, or at least beginning to perform, we can kind of go back in time. Were there any actors or actresses that inspired you and may have possibly influenced the way you perform certain things in your art? Because I definitely do have certain influences, certain patterns, specific habits that I also follow because of the people that that inspired me, that I like to personally kind of follow. But I think it's also very important to keep it original, keep it unique in your own way. Are there any things that kind of make you original, or are you still in that process of finding that?
I think I made great discoveries on who I am as an artist just this semester, actually. We're able to create these 20-minute performances that are supposed to be graduating projects, but the process of it begins with you diving into these really deep-seated, like, guiding questions that you really want to answer in your personal life. And you develop these bits, these 5-minute, 2-minute, 1-minute bits, and then you chain them together at the end to create like a 20-minute performance. Like, I never got to do this in school until this semester, and it's such a great, great, great thing to, like, I discover so much about myself as a person and also as an artist along the way. And also, yeah, 100%, there's a lot of originality that goes, something that you care about personally that you're bringing into this work that you're making. And it's no longer about who's going to enjoy this, who's going to be the audience, who's consuming on the other end. You're just thinking, I've been thinking about this completely from the perspective of myself, which, yes, it is selfish and it is self-indulgent in a way, but it's a good practice for me to not always give a crap about who's going to be the one receiving it, because this right now makes sense to me, and it sits well with me and who I am and what I want to answer the most through this performance. Yeah. And I think you asked, like, who inspired me or whatnot.
Yeah.
when it comes to this might be a curveball, but it really is. Right now I'm looking at dancers the most. I think there's an incredibly vulnerable thing that they're doing with their bodies that I want to learn more as a theater performer. How do I let my body do its own work sometimes? It's pretty hard because I feel like because we're such physical creatures, like visual creatures, the first thing we perceive, we judge people by the way that they talk, they act. Everything is a very physical thing. So sometimes it kind of just, I get really self-conscious about the way I move and the way I present myself in front of others. But I feel like dancers have this quality of letting that go and kind of just follow what they want and what is needed in that moment. And that's something I really want to learn as a performer, is to just let go of that and let the body do its own thing, whatever it wants. And it's actually really hard. So yeah.
During your years of experience when you're performing, I'm sure that there are times when you get stuck in terms of maybe a line that you're memorizing, maybe an emotion you're trying to portray. Are there any methods where you take to escape from that and kind of have your mind fresh and come back later? Or do you just keep on going until you get it?
I tend to leave it and then come back to it. That's just me, because whenever I keep dwelling on the same line over and over again, or the same action over and over again, it changes its quality a lot. And I'm more, personally, I just need to step away from it a little bit and then come back to it. Yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, because I think this differs from everyone. When I'm writing, essays, stories, I tend to move away from the story completely and just do either a different activity, or mm-hmm. I just, don't touch the piece for a couple hours, even for a whole day. And then when I come back to it, it usually comes up a bit more fresher. And I sometimes have other ideas that pop up when I'm not thinking about it too much. Because I think mostly when I'm writing, I try to cram everything into one place. And so when all these ideas are mixed together, it just doesn't turn out very pretty. So I just kind of move back and I come back later. And I think that's a great method to use, not only in just writing, but, performing as well.
Yeah, I do the same thing for writing, actually, funny enough. Yeah, when I write, for example, essays, I have a trouble writing already, like growing up. So I think I struggle most with run-on sentences and choosing the right vocabulary for certain ideas. So a lot of times, when I'm stuck on that one sentence, like, oh, what do I use? How do I want to say it? I just kind of, I step away. I maybe scroll a little bit, 5 minutes. I come back, read the sentence again. I'll be like, oh. Sometimes your brain just overworks yourself and you kind of stop looking at certain words the normal way. You just kind of really focus on like the errors, and you're going to be like mad and frustrated for the next, 10 minutes over it. So I think it's a great method for myself, or maybe you, to just come back to it whenever with fresh eyes. So,
would you have any characteristics that you would say that you value the most that will help you in performing or writing, or just in general, that you kind of cherish while you're working towards something, whether it's patience, whether it's communication, whether it's just grit? Are there any things that you kind of want to develop or have developed through the years that you would kind of have people know about and possibly encourage them to develop?
There are a couple, but I think I'll just do one. Is I think it will be helpful for anyone to start obsessing with their own art and their own work, and don't let that go. Because sometimes, yeah, I think that's go back to like grit and like perseverance, passion and love. I generally, I would just say, yeah, like learn to obsess over your thing a little bit, because there are a lot of times when I would do a work and then like, let's say like just a really small performance, and I would really love it for like five days of making. I'll be like, wow, I really love this. And then the next week I'll be like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And I just kind of drop it at the moment. But I realized that first of all, it's okay to feel that way, to just like having different ways of looking at into your work and be like, oh, I like this, I don't like this, and what it is that you don't like. I think also really strong thing is to identify what you like and what you don't like about this specific thing, and work with it. Work until you find something that works, you know, instead of just dropping it. I feel like it's really easy sometimes, like, because as artists, we get the flexibility to say, hey, you know, this thing is not working out, let me just move on to another and make something new. But no, I think this is when the obsession comes in, is like, just let that first 5 days of obsession keep, like, don't let that go. Just keep going with it, and then just work it out until it feels, until that love is coming back again to the work. That's my, like, that's one of the things I learned this semester. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that answer. I think I agree with that. You know, I think a lot of people kind of have their own ways of valuing certain skills that help them in their craft. And I think, you know, there's really no right answer. And I think whatever works for you, works for you. But I do agree with you, you know, if something doesn't work, making sure that, you know, just to keep going, having that grit to persevere through that is a very valuable thing that you should do mm-hmm. with anything. We have around 10 more minutes left. And during this time, I do want to ask about Christmas. You know, I think we've talked a lot about your performing, your art, your craft, and I think it's great to use this as a transition to, do you have any plans for this Christmas or the end of the year before another year begins?
I'm not going anywhere, that's for sure. I told you about this, but yeah, I feel like me, you, and Ali definitely have to hang out. Like a Christmas hangout would be nice. We can even invite more people, but yeah. And also your birthday hangout still hasn't happened. And then I don't have, usually around this time of the year, I don't have much plans for myself. I just kind of, one of the things is that for my mom's baking business, I need to help her a lot. Because when Christmas comes along, the orders are going to stack up, and, you know, she cannot just finish it by herself. It has to be me and her. So that's one of the things I need to do. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it, is to just chill, relax, really just use this time to hang out with my friends, because they're off. They're, you know, they don't have school no more. So that's a nice thing. Doesn't happen often. Like, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to friend time.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to next week, because mm-hmm. our hangout's going to happen and we both know what we're going to do, which we can't really disclose, but you know,
okay,
it's going to be a very exciting time.
I wanted shade so bad. No,
me too. But speaking of Christmas, do you have a Christmas tree at home, or have you been having one through the years? And would it be like a big one where you would decorate it with your family members, or is it just more of a small design?
Really small. We have the same one for the past, I think, 2-3 years. It's the IKEA one that's like white, and it has like, it's pretty small, and the branches are really thin. So yeah, I just usually put the same ornaments on top every single year. Nothing really changes. And it's not like we have the space to really like go ham on decorations at the moment. So we just kind of have this like tiny little tree around our house, and it has lights on it too. So it's pretty nice. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, for me, we don't. When I was younger, we did do a lot of decorations. We would have a tree. We would decorate it with the whole family. But I think through the years, we just got a bit too busy with all those. Not that that makes an excuse, but also I think this year is one of the few years actually that where Christmas is being spent with all of our family members or the most closest family members. And I think that's a huge plus this year. I'm looking forward to kind of spending Christmas with, you know, my grandparents. My uncle came a couple weeks ago. That was very exciting. And I think, yeah, you know, overall, this year is a very, very exciting time. A lot of family members. Do you have anything that you usually do during Christmas or the end of the year? For example, I think a lot of people... Some people write journals, you know, in the beginning of the year, and they reflect back on it at the end. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's, you know, nostalgic. Or, you know, certain activities, certain places you go to, you know, there's a lot of great walks that you could take where there's a lot of decorations. I know that we have Lafarge Park, which is a great, great place to go at night because they put out some really, really beautiful decorations and lights all over the place. Yeah, like anything else?
No, I the only one I can think of is Lafarge Lake, the walk around the lights. That's something that I feel like everyone in Coquitlam has to do once during December or January. I always like to cook and bake on the night of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I like the idea of, it's almost like a Thanksgiving thing, I feel like. I just feel like really, I don't know, a sense of closeness whenever I cook for my family. But this year is weird because I think my mom signed up to go to the church and our whole family is going to church for this Christmas Eve dinner, which I'm not really into, but whatever. It's just 1 year, so it's okay.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, Christmas Eve and all that, there are many moments where I am more excited about the process of going to a certain event or, you know, a certain holiday. You know, for example, I'm probably way more excited the week before Christmas or the couple days before Christmas because of that exciting feeling of, oh, Christmas is coming, you know, all that, just that joy. Mm-hmm. And then the day of Christmas, I almost feel a little sad. And the next day, I feel a little more sadder because you just kind of realize that, wow, you know, this day is over. It's already here. And there's another year coming right next week. And I think this goes the same with traveling, you know the car ride to the airport, checking in your bags, you know, doing all those things before you get on the flight is just kind of exciting because you are going somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the moment you arrive, you do feel very happy, but in the sense it's kind of like, wow, is this it? Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, sometimes, especially on the way home, like on the flight on the way home, it's always bittersweet. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, and I think it's a very interesting thing that, you know, we look forward to something, we're anticipating all these things, and once it kind of comes, it's like not that big. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say this is because the something that I lack and that I continue to work on myself is appreciating the things that I have now, appreciating the things that I'm working towards, being thankful that I even have a goal. Is something that I constantly think of because if you don't, I think you miss a lot of the things that goes on in your life. And that's kind of one of the lessons that I've learned through this year is whatever you're doing, if it's giving you joy, take it as much as you can in because who knows when you're going to get that again. And so Are there any last comments or last things that you would like to mention on, you know, things you've learned or the lessons that you want to speak up?
Some lessons I learned for myself, and I want to give that advice to other people, or just like something that I learned myself?
It could be both. It could be something that you want to give people, or it could be personal to you.
Yeah. I think personally, I'm still learning this, but be content with just being by yourself. It's one of the things I feel like I need to and for folks listening, I'd say just enjoy what, just keep doing what gives you joy. I think, yeah, by yourself when no one's watching, whatever that is for you that makes you happy in your daily life, keep doing that and you'll find something out of it. Yeah.
Awesome. Again, thank you for your time. It was really interesting to do an interview with you. And I think you have mentioned this, but I do become a bit more formal, obviously, mm-hmm. when I'm on air. So might have been a little awkward, you know. Sometimes I can even remember the conversation that we had last night
and comparing
it to today.
You cannot even compare. Come on now.
It's like, not even compared. But yeah, it's a 180 difference. It's a 180 difference. But I think that's the beauty of, you know, being in a place and changing the way you speak, because I think everyone should be able to speak appropriately depending on the situation.
100%, yeah.
Or location that you're in, because if you don't, that's almost disrespectful to not only yourself, but also to the people around you. And thank you. You know, I think you're very respectful on air. I think you know, obviously you're a performer, so I never really had any concerns of you coming on the air.
Well,
but, you know, UBC is a very far place. You do live very close from me. So thank you for, you know, taking the phone. But next time it would also be a very great thing to come to UBC.
Yeah.
I'll be coming here throughout the break. And so maybe you guys can come with Allie, who's also a very close friend. You know, look around UBC. We could also go to Vancouver, you know, downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, see some people there. Thank you again for coming. I hope that you have a great, wonderful rest of the day. The sun is up, so get some vitamin D in your system as well, because I know that you're going to be at home all day sleeping. Thank you again for coming, and I'll see you next week.
You're welcome, dude. Awesome. Do I just hang up?
Yeah, I'll hang up on you.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Sam. As I mentioned, she's a very close friend of mine. She is very, very funny, great sense of humor, great performer, and I do really respect the craft that she does. And you know what? Overall, I just really do love looking at plays, looking at performances, because as I mentioned, I myself would consider, you know, a person who loves to perform. And to share this, like, this interest with different people and viewing other crafts, I think there's no other joy that I get from doing that. That is it for my episode today. I hope you guys had a wonderful time. The interviews are coming in soon. You know, today's interview was very great. It went very smooth. And I do think about some other guests that I would like to bring on as well. If you guys love the interviews that I conduct, you can always comment on them, or you can call in at the number 604-822-2487. I will be happy to take your call and we can discuss some amazing things in my platform. Just a couple things that I would like to mention before we end the episode. My show is being run by CITR and Discorder. It's a student radio station at UBC. If you are interested in it, please come on down. Everyone here is very friendly. Please, we are very interested in helping you find your passion. I found my passion here. I'm starting my own show. It's really a great place to be open and creative with your crafts. So please come on down. It's a great place. You know, I think it's one of the best resources that UBC has to offer. And I think, you know, you don't even need to be a UBC student. You can be a community member and you could still contribute to our station. So please come on down. There is Fun Drive, which is one of the best, biggest events that goes on in CITR and Discorder. It's going to be happening soon. Shindig just ended. And yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. Students, good luck. Hang in there. You can do it. We only have a week or two left. So give yourself a pat on the back till now, but let's grind. And I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.